Book 7, Chapter 1, Cairns Army Airfield, Fort Rucker, Alabama, 1530 hours, 4 September 2005. Castillo stuck his head in the cockpit of the Gulfstream V and said, "Thanks, guys."
"Anytime, Colonel,"
the pilot and Air Force major said as he offered his hand.
"You've got another general meeting you, Colonel,"
the co-pilot, a young captain, said, offering his hand and then pointing out the window. Castillo saw that the co-pilot was wearing an Air Force Academy ring. Another bright and bushy-tailed young man, he thought, not unkindly, who went through the Academy dreaming of soaring through the wild blue yonder in a supersonic fighter jet and wound up in the right seat of a Gulfstream, and who by now has realized he's lucky to be there. Most of his classmates are probably still wingless, flying a supply room desk. The Air Force had far more Academy graduates wanting and qualified for flight training than the Air Force had a requirement for pilots. The bitter joke going around the Air Force was, "If you really wanted to fly, you should have joined the Army. They have more aircraft than we do." Castillo looked to where the lieutenant pointed. Brigadier General Crenshaw, the deputy commander of Fort Rucker and the Army Aviation Center, was standing in the door of the base operations building with a young officer. "Oh, shit. Last time I saw him, I said I was Secret Service. That was, what, just 3 days ago." When Castillo turned back to the passenger compartment, he saw that the crew chief steward had already unloaded their luggage, and Niedermeyer was going down the stair door steps, cradling the radio suitcase in his arms. Max was standing in the aisle, straining against his makeshift leash, which was firmly tied to a seat mount. Untying the wire leash proved difficult, as Max's tugging on it had really tightened the knot. Castillo finally got it undone and allowed Max to tow him down the stair door steps. As he did, he saw that Crenshaw had walked across the tarmac to the airplane. He saluted as well as he could while allowing Max to make his way to the nose gear, where Max lifted his leg and broke wind several times, loudly.
"Did you have to teach him to do that, Colonel?"
General Crenshaw asked.
"Or did it come naturally to him?"
Castillo could think of nothing to say but, "Good afternoon, sir." So he said that.
"Welcome back to Fort Rucker, Colonel," Crenshaw said. "I have been reliably informed that you did, in fact, learn how to fly in Texas, and that there was probably a good reason you told me you were in the Secret Service."
Castillo's confusion showed on his face. General Crenshaw smiled and nodded toward base operations. Two familiar faces were now standing outside the building. One was Lieutenant General Harold F. Wilson, U.S. Army, retired, wearing Bermuda shorts and a pink golf shirt. The other was Lieutenant Colonel Randolph Richardson, in ACUs. General Wilson waved happily. Colonel Richardson smiled. "Or is he grimacing as he squints in the bright sunlight?" Castillo thought.
"When General McNabb called to tell me you were coming, I was on the 15th hole with General Wilson. I was once his aide, so I knew about his relationship with your father."
"I haven't seen General Wilson for several years," Castillo said. "He retired to Phoenix, I believe."
"That's right,"
General Crenshaw said. "And I haven't seen Richardson for, I don't remember the last time I saw him."
"Well, he's my very competent assistant G3, which makes him just the man to get you whatever you came for. Would that be all right with you?"
"Yes, sir, that would be fine. Thank you."
"And this gentleman is?" Crenshaw asked.
"My communicator, sir, Sergeant First Class Niedermeyer. He has to be close to me, so I was going to introduce him as Mr. Niedermeyer and smuggle him in a BOQ with me. But I'm a little tired of bending the truth, so I guess it's the Daleville Inn." Crenshaw offered his hand to Niedermeyer.
"Welcome to Fort Rucker, Mr. Niedermeyer. I hope you and Colonel Castillo find the Magnolia House comfortable."
Hearing the name Magnolia House brought back fond memories for Castillo. More than a decade ago, His grandparents had stayed in the World War II era frame housing that had been converted to a cottage for transient VIPs.
"Thank you, sir," Castillo said.
Castillo, Crenshaw, and Niedermeyer started to walk across the tarmac. Two neat young sergeants trotted out to them and offered to take their luggage. Niedermeyer would not part with the radio suitcase. When Castillo and Niedermeyer got close to the building, General Wilson spread his arms wide.
"How are you, Charlie?"
he called, and wrapped him in a bear hug. When he let him go, he said,
"Bethany talked yesterday to your grandmother, who told her you had made a couple of flying trips to the Double Bar Sea, but as usual, she had no idea where you were. So I'm really glad to see you."
"I've been moving around a lot," Castillo said. "What are you doing here?"
"Oh, we came to see Beth and Randy and the grandchildren. Rucker's hot, but not as hot as Phoenix, and I do like to play golf."
"How is Beth?" Castillo asked politely as he put out his hand to Richardson.
"Well,
thank you,"
Richardson said without emotion.
"What do I call him? Randolph? Randy?
Good to see you, Randy."
"Likewise."
"Your grandmother," General Wilson went on, "told us your promotion finally came through. Congratulations."
"They were scraping the bottom of the barrel," Castillo said. "This is Jamie Niedermeyer, my communicator. Jamie, General Wilson flew with my father in Vietnam. And this is Colonel Richardson. We were classmates at West Point." They shook hands. It was fairly obvious from Niedermeyer's, "How do you do, sirs?" as well as his general appearance that he was military. But Richardson either didn't pick up the significance of his not being identified by rank, or didn't want to.
"You're in the service, Niedermeyer?"